Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good to see all God's people here. And the last couple of weeks, I've started noticing it. Whether we've had a few people who are guests, we welcome you. But I'm also noticing that the trickle of people starting to come back down from the north has begun once again. And for all of you that have made that trek again, welcome back. It's good to have you as a part of our service for this morning. Couple things. First of all, if you'd been watching the announcements coming on the screen, we have a misprint up there. There is indeed a special council meeting, but it got put that it's supposed to be tomorrow night, and most of our council meetings are. But we're having a special one where we're discussing the budget, and it is Wednesday night, not Monday night. So this coming Wednesday night is when that meeting is going to be. We need the officers to pay close attention to the schedule of meetings for about the next month or so, because we're moving a lot of dates just simply so that we try to get the voters meeting well before Thanksgiving. And because of that, we've had to move some other meetings as well. So keep your eye on that. Obviously, the big thing that we're talking about now is just 2 weeks away. And I'm sitting here, we're halfway through October, and it's like, wow, where does the month go? But 2 weeks from today, right about this time, we're going to be over in Sims Park, hopefully, and we're going to be starting a hymn and a song sing right about this time, part of a five-church celebration of Reformation 500. The worship service will follow that. We're in the middle of 1,000 details trying to get everything ready to go in the park. We still need your help. We've got some sign-up sheets back in Narthex number 2, but whether you sign up or not, help us in whatever way that you can that day to make that event something that is going to be truly memorable for all of God's people. We've put a lot of time into this. We're going through a lot of the paces just to see what the best way to do this is going to be. And so now, if we do have a day like yesterday when the rains, boy, they came hard and heavy, everything gets moved here. But we're still going to be on that same schedule. There will be no 8 o'clock service, no Bible classes or anything else like that. Just the regular service, hymn sing at 11, service to follow that, and then dinner to follow that then. So, and just a quick reminder, our Faith Factor is the music group that's going to be leading all of the music for that day. They've got a couple of special musicians that have already joined them. But they've already have asked, because they're going to be asking people from a couple of the other churches. But if you, for just that one day, would like to join them, you can come talk to me. Misty's also here as well. You're going to be up in front of people in the band shell, but it's still to be able to have some very special people that are going to lead us in singing wonderful, wonderful things. So, I need to inform you that it has pleased Almighty God to take from this world to himself the soul of Carolyn Huber. She was called from this life early this past week, and there will be no services or visitations locally. Her family is going to take her back into her home state and deal with things there at a later time. But we will keep that family in our prayers for this morning. It is a reminder also to us that the first Sunday after Reformation 500 is the Sunday where we have what's called the commemoration of the faithful departed for all of God's people. And I'm sure you know more than a few of them who, as they've gone through, we've been through so many this past year. We will commemorate all of the people that have been granted life eternal at each of those worships on that day. So, for God's people, please let us know that you are here with the Faith Factor cards that are in the racks in front of you. You can turn them into the ushers right at the conclusion of the offering. As you are able, please stand. As we begin by calling to mind our baptisms, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ. By his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. Almighty God, you invite us to trust in you for our salvation. Deal with us not in the severity of your judgment, but by the greatness of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament lesson is from the book of Isaiah. There is only rejoicing at the heavenly banquet. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord, and we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is from Philippians. Knowing the Lord produces contentment in all circumstances. St. Paul writes, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am content. I know how to be brought low and how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope. The Holy Gospel, the good news being read in Christian churches throughout the world on this day, according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The parable of the wedding feast. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast. But they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, Tell those who are invited, See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We sing a hymn that's usually associated with Thanksgiving. We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. 785. You may be seated. Friends, God's grace, mercy, and peace is with us, because he has redeemed us from the sadness and the tragedy of this world. Indeed, he has swallowed up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations, for he will swallow up death forever. The Lord God wipes away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Dear friends, when I went to college, one of the first classes I had to take was a psychology class, a very basic psychology class. And it was at a large university where there were probably 8,000 or more people that were taking the same class. And there's a certain variety depending on who your particular instructor might be. But there were a couple things that everybody had to go through, and one of them was this exercise. The groups were gathered, the classes were gathered into groups of 28. And so they sent these sheets that basically divided us into two groups of 14. And each of the 14 people, there was a sheet where each one of the 14 people took on a particular personality. And you were told that there had been a horrible natural disaster outside, and you were among the only people left, and you were in one of the few safe places left. But there wasn't enough oxygen or supplies for everybody. And what you had to do then is, on top of trying to figure out who exactly you were on this sheet, you had to be able to decide which of the eight are going to be kept and which are going to be sent outside. I learned a couple things at that time, and one of them was most likely I would never be a psychologist. And which is fine. I did just fine not becoming a psychologist. But we went through, and of course we just kind of reviewed after we got done. Okay, how did you arrive at your decisions, all that sort of stuff? And then we were just asked, look, so what did you think of the exercise? And of course, most of the students, like you ordinarily would when you're in a school, just said, that was kind of a unique look. And then, of course, one person had to raise his hand and said, I object to the whole thing. You can take a good guess who that might have been. And I said, look, I object to this on three levels. First of all, it was hard enough for us to try to figure out what we would do if we had to play ourselves. I said, so why would we make up the names of and the personalities of people when we are the ones inside of ourselves that would have to ponder that? I said, life and death decisions come all the time, and they have to be made not with a 20-minute time limit, which is what we had there, to decide who was going to stay and who wasn't. I said, these things come instantly and without warning. And I said, there must be a way to convey that somehow. But I said, more than that, I said, the thing that I object to the most is the idea that the eight people who were kept in, I said, do they really think they have escaped death. Well, the class leader, I mean, her reaction actually was kind of humorous. She looked at me and she said, I'm wondering if you objected to the process because, you know, 'cause she knew which character I was asked to play on the sheet. And she said, you might be interested to know that in almost every group around the campus that did this, your personality was one of them that was sent out of the room basically every time. I figured that would probably be the case. And I said, are you talking about the person I'm supposed to play or the person that's talking to you now? She didn't answer that question. Still, the bottom line, my friends, is that we're all gathered here in the same room. I don't know that there is an impending tragedy that's awaiting any of us here. I would pray that would not be the case. But just because there isn't, I don't want you to think for one minute that you're going to escape death. You're not. It may not come today. May not come for a long, long time. But it is something that is certain. And when that certainty comes around, it brings with it a sadness. And it seems not only in life do we have to deal with other people around us, whether it's personalities that you grew up watching on TV or people that you've known, aunts, uncles, and whatever else, eventually your parents and so forth. But it seems like if you live long enough, you see every kind of tragedy imaginable, something that could do little but bring the types of things where tears are brought to your eyes, and you would look to anything to find comfort in those situations. Well, if we want to find comfort, does it get better than what our Lord gave to us today? Here is a wedding feast, and oh yes, there were people that had been being prepared for that wedding feast for centuries who wanted nothing to do with it when Christ came into this world. And then they said, go out and find those people who are out there, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. And then as you donned the special gown that is called the waters of holy baptism, and you became his child, now all of a sudden, there's a place for you at a great big banquet, at an eternal wedding feast. And the only way that you can get there, unless Christ comes back in the next few days, and he might, is death. But in the midst of that death, not only does the Lord wipe every tear from our eyes, not only does he bring us to a gigantic wedding feast, he has got a special table reserved for you. You've probably been at those wedding receptions where you've seen that, and a special chair with your name on it. You know, I don't know about any of the rest of you and how many weddings you've gone to and how many funerals you've gone to. And I don't honestly know if, for you, the weddings and the funerals have anything in common. Aside from the fact that, obviously, it's going to, if you're there, it's going to affect family members and family is going to be there. In my family, weddings and funerals alike are the occasions when, because that's the time everybody dresses up, it seems like that's the time we got to go through all these big family pictures. And you think about it for a moment. Now, wait a minute. These two occasions have nothing in common with each other, but except for the fact that it gathers us together and reminds us the joy of being a part of a special family and an even more special family that the Lord has prepared us for. Just this past summer, I was a part of a wedding reception, and maybe you've been to some of those where there's just tables everywhere. Maybe you have been reserved to a particular table. Table numbers even written down and stuff like that. But, and look, I knew my sister and my brother-in-law, they were the parents of the groom, but how in the world was I ever going to get to meet and learn who these people are who are on the bride's side? That's kind of the way that you would feel in the midst of a heavenly throng of people who have been called to everlasting life on the last day, this huge group of people, and yet the Lord has time. The Lord has set aside something just for you. And not just a place, but a place that is going to be right there next to Him. When we attended that wedding this past summer, that was one of the times where I hadn't had my surgery yet. I was not getting around well at all. And whatever it is that we could try to do, I felt blessed to be able to do. And yet, even though it was a huge room and it was filled with people, I could not believe how much time the bride's parents were willing to give to Kathy and I. There's a time or two, I almost felt embarrassed. I'm like, boy, there's got to be other guests that he needs to spend the time with that he spends with us. And yet he made us feel like we were some of the most important people, no matter how many were there, at the entire wedding banquet. Now, maybe, you know, if you are the parents of the bride, that's part of what you're supposed to do. But when you are Jesus, and you have set forth a wedding feast for all of God's people, and you go and you wipe tears away from their eyes, you're going to make it special. And the heavenly banquet that we are waiting for is going to be an unbelievable feast. And at the head of the table is going to be Jesus Himself, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. But before we can enjoy that, we must see what the darkness of death is all about. There's a novel that was written by a man named Philip Roth. In this novel, he talks about how there are two brothers and a father, and what happened, the father died. And somehow, what happened when the father died is something that can only happen in family. One of the two brothers was given some very specific instructions from the father as to what was to happen at the funeral, specifically at the graveside once they were done with all the rites. And as family can sometimes be, somehow the one brother never communicated to the other brother what that was supposed to be. And so the brother who hadn't been told shows up at the graveside wearing, as you would ordinarily expect a person to, wearing his best suit, nicely shined shoes, a brand new tie, and whatever else he needed to. Yet when he arrived, there was a big pile of dirt, as you might again expect, and two shovels. The request from the father had been that instead of whatever professional staff through the cemetery would usually take care of those things after the service is over, something that in this day and age we rarely see, by the way, that the brothers themselves were to take care of that on behalf of their father. And they had also been given permission that a couple of younger cousins could help out. And they had their own shovels hidden someplace. But the bottom line is that one brother had prepared himself for what the experience was going to be like, but the other had not. But even in his best suit, he knew what he had to do. Or he thought he did. So he digs in, takes the first shovel, walks it to the hole, and then sees the casket that has been placed into the ground. And all of a sudden, with a gigantic cross on the top of the casket where his father's head was, he realized that what he was about to do was, in his mind, was to begin to cover up the glory of what his dad had once been. Each shovel brought forth another tier and a greater degree of difficulty, but they had to keep going until the ground was level. For a while, he started keeping all of the ground that just went to the one side, trying to keep it away from the cross as long as he could. But eventually, he started thinking that here I am, and not only am I leaving my father in the darkness and almost in the dungeon of the ground, but with seemingly the weight of the world on top of him. And he reached a point where he could go no farther. As the other brother and the two cousins finished up the duty, once it was done, the two shovels were to be laid on either side of the ground where now it had been filled with dirt. And the younger of the two sons began to break down in tears, not even realizing that there was still somebody there, somebody back behind him, who all of a sudden began speaking these words: "And he will swallow up the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that spreads over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." Then and only then did he realize for the first time that whatever he thought he was doing, no. Oh yes, his father, the body of his father, which at one time had been the temple of the Holy Spirit, was now separated from his soul. But that which he knew had been granted the joy of life everlasting was now a part of that heavenly, wonderful wedding banquet, ready to be served at table by Jesus himself. He finally understood that death is going to be defeated as we rejoice and are glad in his salvation. My friends, every one of you in this sanctuary have the mark of death on you, and it must be carried out one day. But until that day, we live in the love and the light and the power of the Lord, who has breathed life into us. And when that day comes, we come not to the tears and the darkness of death, but the joy of knowing that there is a table with your name on it and a chair that's going to be right there next to your Lord and Savior, because he has defeated death for you. And through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we await that day. We look forward to it, not because of what it brings to those on earth, but what it brings to each one of us as we are called to the joys of life everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which is past all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith. This morning it's going to be to the words of the Nicene Creed. The words are up on the screen or always on the inside back cover of the hymnal. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, Heavenly Father, our shelter and strength, always ready to help us, never leaving us or abandoning us. We praise you for the great mercy that you have shown to us in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We glorify him because he has removed all tears from our eyes by removing our sins by his sacrifice on the cross. We praise you, Father, for preparing an everlasting banquet that you have made us your children and for giving us a special place at that table in the waters of holy baptism as you open to us the gate of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We confess, dear Lord, that we have done nothing to earn such a special place with you. Often we are guilty of flouting your will and replacing it with our own. We trust for our forgiveness only in the righteousness of your Son. By your Spirit, give us a new nature that loves what is godly and holy, takes captive of our every thought, word, and deed, gives us the desire to walk in your ways and the power to follow your word, touches us with your grace that we may be transformed in character, firm in faith, joyful in hope, patient in troubles, and persistent in prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Fill all of your church with your Spirit, that all of the people in it may have the power and wisdom that surpasses all human knowledge. In the midst of a living faith that you have given to us, may we value all that is pure and holy and true and good. Remind each and every one of us of the joy of serving you, that we may be built up in faith and love, strengthened in zeal, and kept faithful to the end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. It has been a difficult week in our area, dear Lord. So many things are giving us doubt, fear. Even children in our schools cannot feel safe anymore. Our only safety, dear Lord, our only beacon, our only place that we can go where we are taken from the trouble of this life is in you. But in the meantime, dear Lord, spread that love into the people who must serve in times of trouble and sorrow. Be with our teachers and administrators in our schools. Be with our policemen, first responders in our communities. Be with those who serve in the military and are separated from families. They protect and defend the freedoms that we draw near. Be with those who are leaders in our country at the national, state, and local levels. Be with each of us. We may understand that these are there for our good and that they have been placed there according to your authority. We may look to them even as we look to you in all things. Give them a measure of faithfulness and a fear and love of you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all who face sickness, sorrow, pain, hardship, trouble, danger, loneliness, suffering, or any other malady, we look to you, dear Lord. Provide all of the things that are needed. Free these people from all worry and distress. We offer a special prayer this morning on behalf of the family of Carolyn Huber. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives going through the difficulty of life, or someone who is going through things that we cannot know, but is known to you in a moment of silence. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, our sure refuge and our eternal hope, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service concludes in the middle of page 8 as we pray the closing collect together. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have strengthened us in the midst of sorrows and distractions of this world. Be our shepherd and guide so that we may increase in faith and love as we respond to your gracious call. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Thanks for being a part of our service today, friends. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.